Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Paperback Bromance. As always, I am Matt, joined with David and Phoebe. How's it going today, guys?
It's going well.
Excellent.
Beautiful day out.
Gorgeous.
So, of course, we've cloistered ourselves inside to record some serious smut.
Oh, naturally. We've got our smut juice flowing. We've got our glasses full.
That's our favorite hobby.
And we've got a new smut book. Ready for you guys this week.
Smut-ish.
It's smut adjacent.
Smut thriller.
It is a thriller. It is thrilling indeed. It is called The Standoff by Sandra Brown, number one New York Times best-selling author.
She is prolific for her thrillers. They're romantic thrillers. So romance more on the back burner, thriller more on the forefront. So in this episode, as Matt said, a paperback bromance reviewing Sandra Brown's romantic thriller Standoff. As always in this show is full of spoilers. So if you want to read the book, hit the old pause button, then come back and we can do this journey together. Published in 2000, this is a quick and exciting novel, is a story of Teal McCoy. She is an up-and-coming ace reporter in the hustle and bustle of Dallas, Texas. So, of course, I read all this in a Texas drawl in my head.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
Mm-hmm. Did you wear a 10-gallon hat?
No.
No, you messed up.
I have a dog, though.
Yeah, that counts.
Because, you know, Southern guy, gotta have a dog.
Gotta have a dog.
So after learning she's about to lose all her vacation days, she's decided to take an idyllic vacation. And whilst en route, we hear over the radio of a young man kidnapping a predominant millionaire's daughter. This causes Teal's she's all reporter, to really kind of flare up and be like, well, you know, I can hit up this story while I'm on my way to my idyllic vacation. So she decides to make this change of course that is going to obviously change the course of her career and even her life.
Oh, it certainly does. It certainly does both of those things.
If you guys have noticed, this is significantly shorter of a synopsis than The California Woman. And that's because this book is about 400 pages shorter than The California Woman.
It's also much less confusing.
Yes, though what I'm learning about these romance novels is that they have all their own quirks, whether it be how these authors come up with their names to the off the rails plot. You know, California Woman is a great example of that one. This is a good, just kind of bare bones thriller with a little bit of romantic spiciness as an undertone through the entire thing.
And less trains.
No trains.
No trains. There were no trains in this.
But, you know, we can picture almost like, man, we don't say like the third Die Hard as far as like, but in Texas instead of New York.
Right. So it's close.
You're picturing those cars, you know, the boxy police cars.
There's a lot of highway driving.
A lot of highway. I mean, yeah, it's Dallas, dude. Everything's bigger in Texas, including the highway driving. So,
you know, I didn't care for Texas the first time I went there, but it was a 2-hour layover at Dallas-Fort Worth. And I was hung over. Oh. Let me tell you. So I was not having a good time with all those bright lights, cowboy hats, and giant belt buckles. I just wanted a nap.
And not a Bloody Mary to be found.
No.
No.
No, because it was an early flight, so the bars weren't open yet.
Brutal.
But then the next time I was in Texas, I just drove through the panhandle, and that was fine.
Because did you get barbecue?
No. No. Maybe I got Red Robin at one point. Maybe that.
Okay, that's two reasons why you didn't like Texas. Yeah. One, you didn't get fucking barbecue. And the other one, you ate Red Robin.
Yeah, I was in a time crunch.
What are you, six?
But you could drive 120 miles on the highway and everyone just gets out of your way.
He's both at all times.
That's fine. Either way, at least you could just drive and you don't see anything. So I really get where this character's coming from in the beginning of the book while she's driving through Texas, and it's just wide open plains.
Well, I guess that segues to our first segment is Matt Splains the character.
Yeah, it's Matt Splaining.
Please, Matt, Splain this for us.
Yeah. Well, so our main character is Teal McCoy, like David had mentioned, an up-and-coming rising star in the Dallas news. And of course, she's forced to take a vacation because her vacation days are going to be lost. Her boss, Gully, as everyone calls him.
Yeah, no first name, no last name. Just Gully.
Well, come to find out, his first name is actually Yarborough, but not many people know that.
It sounds like a town in Maine.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, the Yarborough Gully over here, the bridge crosses right over.
Welcome to Vacation Land.
Welcome to Vacation Land.
Brought to you by Gully.
So, yeah, he forces her to go on vacation. She reluctantly goes. And rather than flying to New Mexico to go to a nice condo by a creek or something, it's entirely sure what's there in New Mexico. It's not a very exciting place. She's driving so she can unwind. She can get out of work mode along the road. She's a workaholic. She doesn't want to take this vacation. She just wants to keep hustling and climbing that news ladder. But she takes her vacation. It turns out she's supposed to be meeting up with a boyfriend. A new boyfriend, a secretive boyfriend, because she doesn't want to talk to her boss about it. And it's none of his business anyway, but...
Right.
Oh, things happen. Things happen. So she hears on the news that this billionaire's daughter has been kidnapped by a high school student, which we later learn as she's at a rest stop, lost in the middle of nowhere because it got too dark. And again, those just wide open plains of Texas all look the same. You don't know where you're going, especially right. In the dark.
Or she's in New Mexico at this point, isn't she?
She might be. No, I think she's still in Texas. She's going through San Antonio.
We'll find out.
We'll get there together. So she calls her boss from a payphone, which is disgusting. And
she probably only had to spend a quarter too. Can you guys imagine that? Just a quarter for one phone call?
Oh man, I remember that.
So she's trying to check in and get more directions and also an update on what's been going on. Come to find out, the billionaire's daughter is pregnant with the child of the boy who kidnapped her. So it's kind of a Romeo and Juliet, they're running away together.
Oh, yeah.
Situation.
So he didn't really kidnap her, but kind
of. It's more of the father is.
No one's good enough for his daughter. You're not going to date my daughter. She's going to college. There's no room in her life for the likes of you, desert rat.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anything else about the main character?
Yes. So her new boyfriend, come to find out, because she calls him while she's at this payphone, and he lets it be known that he will not be meeting her on their romantic getaway vacation. She was calling to tell him that she was going to be a couple days late while she chases this story, and he says that he's not coming at all because his wife found his plane ticket.
What? No.
This is all in the first chapter.
This is the first chapter.
To which she says, your wife? And then he says, yeah, I thought you knew that. And she says, your wife. So she's done. He's like, yeah, we'll just see each other when we get back. She's like, no, we won't. Click.
No.
So now she's mad and getting ready to leave.
Yep.
When all of a sudden, well, she's grabbing a pack of Volt energy soda.
To jolt. Probably some corn nuts because we're, you know, in the Southwest.
Sunflower seeds, she goes
for. Oh, is it sunflower seeds? That's right, yeah. Again, Southwest.
Then all of a sudden, the security camera explodes inside the gas station.
Yep.
And who walks in?
I don't know.
The billionaire's daughter and her kidnapper.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
And that's where the first chapter ends, right?
That's where the first chapter ends, okay.
So... And you've read the last chapter.
I've read the last chapter.
So based on, what do you think about this character?
Well, I mean, she's a workaholic. She's going to do anything to get the scoop, including sabotaging her own vacation with her boyfriend, who's a piece of shit. So that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Man, that guy.
You've gotten it pretty damn fucking close. So the author, Sandra Brown, writes what I can only read as a stereotypical driven woman from the early 2000s. You know, not interested really in love life, not really, or at least she says, not interested in starting.
She's that Ally McBeal type.
Ally McBeal type. All right. So, yeah, ambitious, driven to succeed. And she's pushing for her own anchored show. Like, she wants to be Teal McCoy, you know, live at 9, essentially, one of those deals. When all the shit go down later in the story, we find her to not only be able to keep her cool in a dangerous situation, like, she's completely and total level headed badass. She's also willing to manipulate said situation and the people's lives around her and the allies that she made to further her career. So she is such a workaholic to the point where it's almost detrimental to her own character, right?
But yeah, she sabotages every relationship she has just to make her work life so work.
Even though Teal is career-driven and recklessly brave, she seems lost in the love department. Hopefully, she will remedy that later on in the story.
Oh, we'll find out, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just cross.
That would be our next segment, would be Matt Splains the Plot.
Matt Splains the Plot, yes.
So the last thing you saw was, or read, was that the security camera was exploding and these two kids walked in on the lam.
So we see Ronnie Davidson walk in, holding a gun. Of course, he just shot out a camera and he says, "This is a robbery." Well, no shit, Sherlock.
Because you just shot the camera and you're holding a gun.
Yeah. And who's with him other than Sabra Denny.
Because their parents really cared when they...
Yeah, what a name. What a name. Sabra. It sounds like that hummus brand, right? Love me some hummus.
She would definitely not be the spicy hummus. She would be the probably just the original flavor.
Yeah, just a plain old, not even garlic, just olive oil hummus.
Maybe they kind of forgot even the sesame seeds to sprinkle in the sesame.
Just right. The original.
Store brand.
OG.
Anyway.
Yeah, so she walks in 8 months pregnant. And apparently, she had hid this pregnancy from her entire family and everyone.
Oh, damn.
Except for one friend that she told at school.
Oh.
Who talked to another reporter.
Yep.
And said they were probably going down to his biological father's house because he lives down near Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Teal comes in.
Okay.
Because her boss calls her and reroutes her from her vacation to Mexico, and she just happens to find him in the same one-horse town that she stops to make a phone call in.
Yep. Classic. Yeah.
So now...
victim of circumstance.
We've got a hostage situation on our hands.
Oh, crap.
There's a shootout. People almost die. They don't die, but they almost die.
Okay.
And then there's a doctor here in this situation.
Yeah.
He comes into the fold to presumably deliver the baby. This... cancer doctor cum cowboy, as he's later referred to as.
But you got to say it in that Texas Southern drawl. So
Texas.
Cancer baby.
Cancer doctor cum cowboy.
Cancer doctor cum cowboy is what he turned into.
Breaker 19. This is cancer doctor cum cowboy. Is anyone out there who's on my 20?
You're getting this information from the end of the book.
I'm piecing together the middle.
Yeah.
With it.
Keep going.
Yeah. So there is a little rendezvous back in her motel room that she hadn't actually gotten to up until this point, but she does spend a night with this cancer doctor whose wife had passed because of an inability to use experimental drugs and procedures, which he wants to remedy. So he's mourning the loss of his wife 6 years ago and decides to bang this beat reporter in musty motel room. In the middle of nowhere, Texas.
This is kind of the end. This is the end of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
what happens in the middle?
Well, you know, they're in the gas station during a hostage situation.
Okay.
Cops show up. Of course, this kid doesn't want to let his girlfriend and baby go.
Mm-hmm.
Not without a fight. Not without a fight. Now, there's a couple Mexican gentlemen in there with them. There's an old couple.
Yeah.
And Teal, she steals the old couple's camcorder. And she gets the scoop of a lifetime recording everything that she can and interviewing all of these characters involved. Does she ever get to use those tapes? Nope, because it is a poor quality $25 Walmart camcorder and it is garbage footage. And then also, because of her relationship with this cancer doctor cum cowboy, she doesn't want to out him.
Cancer doctor cum cowboy.
Cancer doctor cum cowboy, 10-4, good buddy. She does not want to out him for his involvement in this whole thing and decides to keep his name quiet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
David, why don't you fill in the blanks there?
That's
eerily accurate.
You're not far off the mark because you can gather a lot of the story from the first and last chapter. But yeah, there's a...
you guys are fools for reading the middle parts. You just need the beginning and the end.
Listen, the rest of it sorts itself out. That's my job. So, I don't know.
So again, relatively fast-paced romantic thriller. And when I say romantic, I mean that kind of the loosest interpretation of the book.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the love story of the kids is kind of romantic. So until the part where he ends up in jail.
As Matt, he doesn't end up in jail. Anyway, so.
Not yet. He still has to go to court for multiple counts of attempted murder.
Let's just listen.
Again, this is going to be full of spoilers. And if you want to go through this journey with us, pause it. Read the book. It'll take you about an hour. And you can hit play and go through this with this together.
Yeah, it took me about an hour. And that was...
So as Matt mentioned, Teal is trying to get out of her forced mandated freaking vacation time when she hears about Russell Dendy's daughter being kidnapped. And she's trying to get out of this forced vacation time because she's got a competitor named Linda, who's also kind of vying for this, like I mentioned before, anchored show. Like, she wants to have her own show.
Wants to be
Teal McCoy, you know, live at 9. So she's like, I'm going to go and check out this story that Gully is telling me about. But I'm technically still on vacation.
Gully himself is also a workaholic. So he pulls 16-hour days and doesn't leave the building either.
Oh, yeah, and smokes like 2 packs of Camels a day.
Who doesn't?
So Gully instead sends Teal to Hera, which is in New Mexico, to interview the kidnapper's father. As we have learned through Gully, his name is Ronald Davidson, goes by Ronnie. And though... through sources close to the story have revealed that the daughter Sabra Dendy, these are really the names they're going with, is in fact pregnant with Ronnie's child. We've already covered that. And she's been hiding it for months. Teal learns that supposed couple has revealed the pregnancy to Russell and he flipped his collective shit. So we learn at this time at this other gas station in Rojo Flats as Teal is lost. That's where she was supposed to go to Hera. She's stuck in Rojo Flats, which is again...
that's where she makes her phone calls.
Yes, that's where she makes the phone calls. She takes all this in, writes it down. Luckily for Teal, finds out that her boyfriend is, in fact, married, has a wife, all that jazz. Pretty much tells him to go, you know, kiss off. Teal, understandably, tells him to go fuck himself, as I just said. After hanging up on said philanderer, she locks eyes with the dreamy cowboy that she sees that has just walked into the store.
The doctor.
You know, tall, big hands, big hat, big boots.
You know what?
We are in Texas after all.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
She has a nice little brief interaction with the said lovely older couple and is being eyeballed by a couple of Mexicans. Author's words, not mine. As she is about to hit the road while grabbing some snacks, the camera explodes.
Camera explodes.
Ronnie and Sabra come in.
But not on its own.
Yeah. So he pretty much tells everybody to get on the ground. This is a robbery. And in the midst of all this, a truck pulls up to the store. And we're just before closing, like right before closing. So Ronnie forces everyone to get down, you know, lock the doors, shut off the lights. And this dude's like, hey, you know, you're not closed yet. And our little cashier, Donna, terrifiedly shouts out, he's got a gun. Guy tears off. And lo and behold, yes, the cops come.
Boom.
So...
These cops, they're wearing big hats and boots.
Before the cops can get there,
guess
what happens? Take a wild guess.
Someone goes into labor.
Yes, Sabra's water breaks. Because she's been having freaking contractions since like noon that day. So she's in full-blown labor. Luckily, Mr. Cowboy Man with the big boots, the big hat, the big hands.
He's a cancer doctor.
He goes by Doc. Won't answer any questions. Not saying, hey, my name's just Doc. I'm a cowboy, goes by Doc. So essentially gives Sabra a pelvic exam in the middle of the convenience store.
That's sterile.
Yeah. And at this point, the cops, the FBI have showed up. And it's revealed that Sabra is saying, like, Russell's going to take the baby away. He'd threatened to, like, smash the baby's skull in. And all that gross. Yeah, like.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
But he was going to essentially take the baby away and put it up for adoption. You know, Ronnie and Sabra are like, no, this is our baby. This is our love. You know, we want to keep our baby.
Right.
So we start entering hostage negotiations because, you know, sheriff can't handle it. FBI shows up. Agent Calloway is now kind of our lead.
Well, there is a whole manhunt because of the richness of this girl's father.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
already had the FBI
Oil
and the
tycoon,
marshals and sheriffs all over the place.
So as soon as the sheriff finds out what's happening in his little town, you know, literally one stoplight, all that jazz, you know, gets the FBI involved.
It's like, I can't handle this. Nope.
Yeah, and there's
someone stole a horse last week, and that was a bit too much for me.
So, of course, Dendy flies himself in on a private helicopter and freaking jazz.
As you do.
Yeah, and I'm just going to refer to this asshole as Dendy for the time being.
Okay.
Yeah, So he's bullied his way into this negotiations, made himself a complete nuisance. There's a lot of back and forth going on, but you know, typical hostage negotiation stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile,
did they demand to order pizzas or anything?
No, they just like, hey, we just want to run away to Mexico. Okay. Russell's a dink. We just want to leave and live out our lives with our baby. We've got some money. We're trying to get some money. So it didn't work out. Here we are. Meanwhile, during the pelvic exam, Doc has realized that this baby is in breach.
No.
And we're talking early 2000s, man.
That's not good for you. Nope.
We're talking early 2000s. So we're like, look, we got to get a doctor in here. We need an actual doctor. Because, you know, he's just like, I'm just this rancher guy who calls himself Doc.
Right.
So a doctor comes in. You know, the FBI is like, all right, we're going to send a doctor in because they don't want an innocent girl and her baby to die.
Nope, that would be bad, especially with the billionaire daddy sitting there watching.
Yeah, he's got his medical bag and Doc's like doing the whole side eye like, you know.
Are you a cop or are you an actual doctor?
She's already at 10 centimeters. She wasn't at 10 centimeters yet. And the doc's like, oh, yeah, well, let me just, you know, do this and do that. And I mean, if you hear 10 centimeters, you know that baby's probably getting
ready to go.
Out.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And he's not responding the way that he's supposed to be because, huh, he's not actually a doctor. No, he's an FBI agent. And
you're a cop. I knew you were a cop the whole time.
Yeah, he was a fucking cop. And so.
You're not a cop.
Teal, out of nowhere, in like solidarity and like bonding in this hostage situation with this couple because it's gotten weird like that little whole what's the term,
Stockholm syndrome. Stockholm. That's it. There we go. We got there.
Yeah. We found it.
Yeah,
it took three of us.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
She's got like the whole Stockholm thing going on, and again she's trying to manipulate people to get the best story possible. Smashes this dude over the head with a can of chili, knocks him out cold.
I can go for some chili, actually.
Name's Agent Kane, by the way.
Agent Kane.
Yep. Agent Kane.
Yep, knocks him right over the dome. So meanwhile, Sabra is like having contractions, and glory be, the baby has flipped itself. So the baby has actually been able to flip itself, right? Like once in a lifetime chance.
Get that baby.
No, yeah, normally you have to use like some inversion therapy.
No kidding.
Or a C-section is what we're asking the doctor for.
Sure.
And she manages to deliver.
Okay.
But tears very badly.
Oh, dear.
Ow.
So she's bleeding internally from the labor. Oof. She's bleeding from the tear. So blood. Just blood everywhere. And the baby's slightly premature, so needs neonatal care. And this woman needs to get stitches. Because here's the thing, is that this whole time, nobody thought to ask for fucking stitches.
Oh, boy. Right.
Like, they sent in a doctor with a medical bag.
No, not stitches, a real doctor.
No stethoscope. No stitches. He couldn't be just get on the horn and be like, look, this chick's bleeding out. Send us some more stitches, maybe?
Right.
But it's a gas station, so all they've got is Band-Aids and Tylenol.
Band-Aids, diapers.
And we know you're not supposed to give your baby Tylenol.
No, no.
Oh, dear. And she was 8 months pregnant?
Months pregnant, so
that's a danger zone.
That is a danger zone.
Right.
Yikes.
Teal reveals that she remembers Doc. She recognizes this guy as Dr. Bradley Stanwyck, a former oncologist who left his practice after his wife's death, you guessed it, from cancer, that he couldn't cure. So, back with the FBI, Dendi is now sipping from a flask and trying to mellow out and just being awful still, when Gully shows up with Teal's news crew, which was kind of her intention all along. You know, just in case, but it was her intention all along.
Naturally.
Ronnie's father shows up, who Ronnie was trying to get in touch with in the first place. Calloway is trying to get a read on what type of person Ronnie is. Well, he's the type of guy that just loves so much. Like, he's just a lover boy. So much, in fact, that he tried to rescue a neglected dog from an abusive owner when he was a kid. His dad ordered him to return the dog, but because he loves so much, he instead kills the dog instead of returning it and...
Or mercy killing.
Smashes his head with a fucking rock and just sits there and cries.
That's one way to do it.
So yeah, what a lover, man. So back in the store, Ronnie and Sabra continue to refuse to leave and get medical aid for fear that Russell is going to, you know, take the baby. But Sabra continues to lose blood from the tear. Okay. No one is asking for fucking sutures.
Oh, dear.
It's at this point Sabra reveals that she and Ronnie have made a suicide pact.
Oh, no.
So, the Romeo and Juliet analogy, nail on the head.
100%.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Good job, Matthew.
I told you I'm smart. I could have wrote this book.
And that's if they don't get clemency for being dumb kids, you know, that's what they want, essentially. Teal has the great idea of having her news crew come in so that the couple can make a statement to the world and to Russell as to why they should go free. The Mexican guys who had been acting super shady at this point, even tried to get the gun from Ronnie, who he then shoots in the leg. So now we have a pregnant woman who's bleeding, or, you know, a woman who just delivered who's bleeding out on the floor, a Mexican dude who's shot in the leg, and a dude who got smashed over the head and is tied up, who's also an undercover FBI agent.
Hopefully he's got some ice in there.
Right. One of them even kicks Kane in the face for lipping off, even though he's not supposed to really understand English. The crew comes in and is sneakily does like a big wide shot of the whole layout to give the FBI a layout of what's going on. And I should mention at this point that Teal has that hidden, has that camera that she took from the older couple that you pointed out. She's got that stashed away. So she's constantly filming, and she's got a recorder in her pocket that she always carries with her. So she's been recording conversations, especially the one where Doc reveals who he is and that he wants to remain anonymous because of the scandal that happened when he left his practice. Okay.
She's always trying to get that scoop.
Right. Ronnie essentially is coming to his senses, and he kind of lets everyone go except for the FBI agent and the shady Mexicans. Teal at this point feels too bonded, like I said, way too bonded to Sabra, who finally relents and gives Teal the baby to bring to a doctor. So it's just going to be the two of them dying in the store. Teal's going to take care of the baby. And luckily enough, as she's released, there's a doctor waiting for her on site.
Oh, damn.
Whisks the baby away to a hospital.
Saves the baby.
Yep, baby's safe. So the baby is safe, guys.
That's good.
And she's just, because Teal is such a compassionate woman, and she's kind of finding conflicting emotions between being a person who wants to be this driven ace reporter.
Right. She wants her scoop. She wants her story.
Right. As opposed to this person who is just like, I just care about these kids too much. So she goes back into the store, right?
Yeah.
To wait it out. So
that's a dual purpose. She gets to care about the kids still, and she gets her story.
And she's got her tapes. Okay. She's got her tapes. And we're waiting for the DA and a judge to figure out the next step. So while we're waiting, Teal's contemplating what a piece of shit she is for kind of exploiting these kids to further her career. Because, yeah, she is.
Yeah, just a bit.
Which Doc low-key called her out on. But hey, job comes first. So finally the call comes in that all the legal people are willing to make a deal with Ronnie. So they decide to exit the store. He makes the Mexican guys go first. And they are real hesitant because it turns out that some are real bad cartel hombres.
Uh-oh.
Okay? We're talking like cocaine traffickers, fentanyl, all the good stuff.
Cocaine cowboys. That's why they've been sketchy the whole time.
Yeah, right. That's why they've been sketchy. So FBI failed to mention that to our heroine Teal, that these were really bad guys. So the feds, because they knew they were bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the feds have the bad guys in custody as Teal and Ronnie exit the store, when all of a sudden, the hombre that was shot in the leg for, you know, trying to take the gun,
yep,
and kick the dude in the face for lipping off, is making this huge commotion from his gurney because someone has a gun, and pan to our good old boy Dendy with a freaking hunting rifle.
Uh-oh.
And he shoots Ronnie in the chest.
Ow.
Man.
Right? After all that.
After all that.
After all that.
Cops couldn't have taken this guy's gun before that? Like, what is going on?
He snuck off back to his helicopter where he had hidden a rifle, and then snuck back and waited for Ronnie to come out, and then boom.
With a field of cops and FBI agents.
Oh, yeah. So he's taken down. Ronnie's life flighted to a hospital. Sabra is finally seen to medical care for after almost bleeding out.
No kidding. No.
And Doc is bounced, just gone. I'm out of here. Teal's put into the only motel in town by the local sheriff after decompressing and cleaning off all the freaking afterbirth and blood that they're covered in. She hears the old, and who should be there? But Doc. They had been dancing around the attraction the entire standoff, and now...
Now comes the cum cowboy part of this.
It's the cum cowboy part. It's a very sensual scene. It turns it up. Afterwards, as Teal's getting ready to take a chopper back to Dallas so she can start processing the story, Doc finds the tapes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
that she had been secretly recording. Even his story about his wife and the scandal that surrounded it, which is really kind of insignificant to the story, but it was a scandal involving insurance fraud, essentially, that really had unmitigated backing, or, you know, no real evidence. And it made Doc just be like, nope, I'm done with this. I'm going to go be a rancher.
Yeah.
Right. So he says some very nasty but true words, you know, being like, you're just trying to do this to make your career. Good thing you could use me for a little bit of sexy sex too. And he leaves, you know, angry and hurt. So we jump forward. Teal is kind of a star for this whole ordeal of the standoff.
Yeah, she's the woman of the week. Everyone wants to interview her, even CNN.
As you know, she never used the tapes.
Never used them.
Nope, never used them. She destroyed them, threw them in some dumpsters.
Good for her.
But guess who figured out who Doc was anyway?
Who?
Gully.
Well, damn. Gully figured it out because Linda figured it out. Because
Linda figured it out, yep.
Damn.
Yep. So she tells him.
It's Linda.
She's second-guessing her career at this point because everything that she went through, she's just like, was it really worth it?
Right.
I mean, like these taking people's lives people are like ruined, that. You know? So she tells Gully as much and goes on that vacation that she was supposed to go on.
Despite him saying to stick around and run a pilot for your own show.
Nope. No, instead she goes to a nice little cabin in the woods that her friend owns. She's doing a little fishing, you know?
Yeah, she tells Gully like, hey, that job will be here when I get back because I'm a legend now.
Yeah.
My reputation speaks for itself, so.
And who should show up while she's casually fishing? But Doc, and says, you know, I'm confessing all the feelings. I'm gonna move back to Dallas because, you know, I gotta resume that cancer fight. That's what I do.
Yeah.
They kiss and make up, and I get that they live happily. We suppose they live happily.
They ride off into the
sunset.
But
I mean, the divorce rate is 50% in this country, and I think it was even higher at that time. So.
Well, that was when people just started getting divorced, and it was more acceptable. So everyone's just like, yeah, screw it. I'll take one.
What's an example?
So
it was more acceptable than it used to be.
What do you think, Matt?
I think I hit the nail on the head with this one.
Yeah,
more
man.
So than our last adventure. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like and there's a lot to hate. Like, yeah, she was an asshole.
Kinda.
But yeah. She did help when it counted.
She was overall. She was kind of a piece of shit through the book. I mean, she was the advocate for these kids. She really was, you know, she was the one talking to the FBI negotiators because she had the level head and
she was essentially the hostage negotiator.
And Ronnie was just, you know, hot tempered, but you know, I love waving the gun around, shooting random Mexicans. Yeah. It was a good story. Would I ever read it again? Probably not. I don't know if I'd ever recommend it. Maybe
make a good Hallmark movie.
It would make a good Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
A very brief
one. Yeah, I definitely would say it has Hallmark qualities to it.
And Hallmark has some steamy parts, does it not?
They
it
do.
Does.
They
yeah,
do.
It does.
I don't get the Hallmark channel, but so that's from what I remember.
That's a nice segue, Matt, to
to our steamy segment, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. It's me, your boy, Matt. You know, here at Paperback Bromance, we like to drink boxed wine, aka smut juice, while we're recording. But when I'm looking for a break from alcohol, I love to go to Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. They've got the citrus social tonic that will get you up and ready for any occasion. There's the strawberry bliss that's great for chilling out on the couch and watching a movie, reading a book, or watching your favorite sports team. Of course, at night, there's the blueberry nightcap. I drink one every night, and I sleep like a baby. Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day. Time for Phoebe to read the steamy.
All right, so there was only one little section I read. I wouldn't say it was little. It was
almost a whole chapter.
It was. It was very steamy. So where I read was after the hostage situation, and
so you had no idea that really happened.
No, but I knew was there was some kind of traumatic event that happened and many people almost died or did die or what, you know, you name it. And we find Teal in her hotel room and Doc knocks on her door and they're talking about, well, like her ex and his deceased wife and how, like, you know, those romances may or may not affect you. And
yeah, how it may have broken them as people.
Yeah, as people. And they're trying to get past that. And Doc confesses that he feels a certain way about her and Teal feels the same.
Horny.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want that body.
Yeah.
Gonna get that body.
I feel like their relationships are a little bit different. The ones that they're both mourning. I mean, hers is more recent, but he was married to this woman.
Yeah.
This is a guy she was dating for a couple weeks.
Right, which I had no idea. So the way I read it was that he also died. So it was like they were mourning.
He's
like
dead to her. But
yes, but again, I have zero context.
Of course.
I just get the steamy parts.
Exactly.
So basically, Doc tries to explain the situation as like, oh, we're only feeling this way because, you know, we've witnessed a traumatic event and this is just a normal thing. Like, make me feel alive. Like,
it's
they
that
said
trauma
this.
Horniness.
Yes. Yeah. They mentioned the
Stockholm horny.
Yes. They mentioned the make me feel alive thing several times.
Every time I get hit by a car, I'm just rager.
Yeah.
Right.
You get Stockholm.
Also, what's funny when I read this is like, it seemed like they knew each other for more than like, what, how long did this happen? 24 hours, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe. It was a very short time.
It was like 12 hours,
yeah,
18
hours. So the part that I read, it just made it sound like they knew each other for a very extended amount of time. And this had been like love, like brewing, which clearly is not the case. So definitely like
it was a pseudo insinuated love at first sight kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I mean, yeah.
Yeah. She saw them big hands and big hats.
Yeah.
Tan face,
she
the big
was
boots.
All
she
about.
She knew he had a hog in them pants.
She was all about that.
Dr.
Cowboy.
Dr. Hog. Doc Hog.
Oh. Doc Hog. It's anyway. Boss Hoss's cousin that went to college.
So
he got his degree.
They
boss,
they,
why are you still chasing after them Duke boys? Why don't you go to school like me?
So he's basically like, do you want me to give you the scientific reason why I feel this way, or do you want me to just to like tell you why I feel this way? And he kind of gives her both of those scenarios. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the TLDR is that they start hooking up and damn.
Yeah, it's.
It's pretty hot.
In a dirty old motel room.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah. That's the best place for it.
I wouldn't say it was dirty as far as the hotel room goes.
I mean, when I read it, it felt more like an Airbnb, kind of like a, I'm renting a room from an old lady kind of situation,
yeah,
but
absolutely.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I took it as it was the only motel in town.
It probably was.
That to me comes to mean that it's not very great because there's no competition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got an AC and a lot of dust.
Yeah.
There you go.
But there's not a lot of people.
Color TV?
Probably no cum stains.
Is it one of the places that advertises clean sheets? Because you should not have to advertise that.
That you have clean sheets.
Yeah.
Roach free.
Roach free.
No bed bugs.
Roach three since 93.
Rooms by the hour.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so it was... It was hot, it was sensual.
It was, and it was two people definitely expressing their love for each other and, like, getting over their past loves. Like, you could definitely get that sense of, like, you know, I've been hurt by this person. My other person died, obviously, now I know that. But, again,
right.
I was under the understanding that their lovers had died, but that's okay.
No,
essentially,
they just watch a lot of shit go down.
Yeah, they did, and that was very apparent. And
it got relatively graphic.
It did.
Yeah, it was more graphic than the California
woman.
I'd imagine them, you know, kind of watching the love of these teenagers right in front of them, kind of got that itch going.
I mean, they
were turned on by the high school kids.
No.
And I think that was my point in bringing
newfound
up.
Newfound love.
Yeah. And I think that was my point in bringing up how Teal, even though she was this workaholic that Matt had mentioned.
Yeah.
That
she still has needs.
She has needs. And she's, seeing that, she's realizing that there's a big chunk.
There's
a big
more
chunk
life
missing
than
out of life.
Work.
Yeah.
She's got to fill that hole.
Yeah.
In more ways
in
than
life.
One.
Yeah. And like,
oh, innuendos.
It was one of those like very romantic, like, oh, this is going to last forever. But then it's like, oh, no, this is like my only one night stand I'll ever have kind of situation. And she's like, I got to go back to work.
But in the back of her head, she was like, maybe, you know, I do need to go, but maybe,
and then he can come with me or I can stay. I don't know.
Yeah, she does bring up him going back to Texas.
Yeah.
Going back to Dallas.
Right. Oh, yeah. But then he discovers the camera. cameras and the tapes. Yep. And he gets real
like that.
Big mad. I mean, and they do make love multiple times in this one chapter alone.
Yeah, it was a marathon.
It was.
Oof. Like, hats off to the it's obviously been a while.
She talks about how exhausted she is and like, I gotta go back to work. My boss is coming to get me.
I gotta go drink one of those Jolt sodas and some Gatorade.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was.
Pass the sunflower seeds. I need some protein.
It might have gotten me a little hot and bothered. I'm not gonna lie.
Excellent.
A little bit.
So on level of steaminess,
I would say like an 8.
An 8? Out of 5?
Out of 5. Oh, we've surpassed 5.
Oh, I forgot 5.
5 is the scale.
The scale is 1 to 5, so I would say a 4.
A 4, okay. Four? A 4 on the steam. So yeah, if you're looking for a little excitement, a little danger, and then some good sexy time afterwards. Yeah.
So less men taken down than our last book, but more passionate.
More passionate.
I believe there was talk of nipples. I can't quite remember.
They mentioned the nipples.
They might have mentioned nipples. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And beforehand, it was just, I have a great rack.
But we don't even know if she had nipples.
No, we don't. They could have been frostbitten off.
They could have.
She lost 2 fingers and a nose. And there's no reason.
So, I mean.
There's no reason she couldn't have lost the nipples.
Yeah. Yeah.
We digress.
We got to do a little callback every now and then.
All right, guys. Yeah. Well, I think that's all for this episode featuring The Standoff by Sandra Brown. I've been Matt.
I'm Phoebe, reading your steamy.
Paperback Bromance is written by David Joseph. Production and editing done by Matt Mulry. Social media also curated by Matt. Phoebe did the artwork, and our theme song is Devil in the Bottle by Icolix, found on the Free Music Archive. Our novel for this episode was Standoff by Sandra Brown, published by the Time Warner Company, copyright 2000. Thank you all for joining us once again. We hope you had a great time, got to laugh a little bit. Like, follow, share, give us an awesome review, and we will see you next time.
Bye.